The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning in the 5th chapter. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Every week, millions and millions of Americans put down a few dollars and buy a lottery ticket. Some might even admit to sending in the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes entry forms. For many, buying such a sweepstakes ticket or a lottery ticket is a harmless little indulgence. We purchase it without faith, but with a little bit of hope placed in sheer luck. Now suppose tomorrow your number suddenly comes up and you hold the winning ticket. Millions of dollars are yours for the taking. Doesn't that just for fun lottery ticket now become a deadly serious business? No longer is it just a frivolous flirtation. Now it is the key to your whole future. Wouldn't you guard the ticket with your life? Wouldn't you run with it clutched in your hands to the nearest lottery official to stake your claim? Wouldn't you tear apart your house, your office, or your car to find it if it were misplaced? Or would you just look at it, smile, and say, "Oh well," and then casually toss it away? That would make you as foolish as, say, Simon Peter, James, and John. In today's gospel text, St. Luke tells us about Simon and his fishing partners. They were not just playing with boats. For them, fishing was a tough, exhausting profession, a way of making a living that forced them out onto the lake in the wee hours of the night when the fish were biting, tending to their boats, and hopefully selling their catch. Through long hours and continued maintenance, Simon and his partners were able to scrape by most of the time. But their livelihood always depended on a certain amount of luck. Would the fish be biting today? Sometimes, despite all their hard work and their careful preparations, the results were empty nets, which translated into empty purses and empty stomachs. But on this day, Simon Peter and his fishing partner suddenly hit the big time. Jesus appeared on the scene and with his advice, his recommendation, they hit the winning lottery ticket. By following a long shot tip to set out for deep water at clearly the wrong time of the day, Simon Peter and the others let their nets down into a jackpot. His nets almost tearing apart, his boat almost swamped by the weight and the wealth of this tremendous catch, Simon Peter at first does everything he can to ensure that his bounty is safely hauled aboard the boat, the two boats. Simon calls over his fishing partners, and together they quickly fill the second boat to the sinking point. Suddenly, Simon Peter realizes that he's not just standing in the middle of two boatloads worth of fish. He's standing in the middle of a God moment, a divine miracle. Jesus had made these fishers more successful than they had ever dreamed possible. But Simon Peter didn't feel like a winner. Instead, he was overcome by his own human sinfulness and his inadequacies, and in despair, not in thanks for all of the bounty that the two boats had, Simon Peter collapses at the knees of Jesus. As economic security flips and flops about his feet, Simon Peter next hears from Jesus the words that will truly transform his life. It's a message that completely rejects the miracle of wealth that fills the boats. Jesus calls Simon Peter away from a life and a lifestyle that he has now grown immensely richer and easier. Leaving off catching fish, Jesus calls, from now on you will be catching people. If you were Peter, what would you do? First, Jesus dumps a fortune in fish at your feet. Then Jesus tells you to leave the fortune, this lottery jackpot, if you will, and take up an entirely new enterprise, one you have no experience with whatsoever. Does this sound like a smart idea? Does it sound like a reasonable advice to you? Would you do the economically smart thing, the safe thing? Jesus has made the fishermen wonderfully successful in the eyes of the world, perhaps for the first time in their lives. Could you turn your back on the money, on the comfort, on the status? Could you turn away from this newfound success and its promise for your life? Could you turn away? Could you leave the lottery ticket for someone else? With the same humility and conviction that collapsed Peter before Jesus, that is, I am a sinful man, the simple fisherman and his companions are so moved by the Spirit of Jesus and the power of his presence that they take a truly stunning course of action. Hauling the boats ashore, these fishermen abandon their new wealth and leave behind their old symbols of security. The Bible says they left everything and followed him. These guys were crazy, weren't they? They took the winning ticket and left it on the lakeshore for any passerby to find. They not only gave up new wealth and a new successful image, they simply abandoned their only continuing means of livelihood, their boats. How can they return to their old profession without their equipment? Can you even imagine making a similar leap in your own life? If you were offered a choice between a $1 million jackpot and a life of catching people in for Christ, what would you do? Remember WWJD? What would Jesus do? The cloth bracelets began in 1989 as a fundraiser for a group of Grand Rapids kids who were trying to raise money for service projects and as a reminder to make moral choices. But the bracelets caught on. They became so hot, they made millions of dollars. These bracelets are discipleship reminders. They remind the wearer that as disciples, we live according to a different standard than does the rest of the world. Kids wear them to remind themselves to make decisions based on what would Jesus do. And of course, kids aren't the only ones who can benefit from reconsidering at critical moments in their lives, what would Jesus do? Kids aren't the only ones. They're not the only ones who hold up discipleship against the hefty weights of peer pressure and personal embarrassment and genuine risk-taking and tempting offers. As an example, suppose an important client is in the office, but he keeps making loud and cruel and bigoted remarks about all other racial and ethnic groups. What would Jesus do? A coworker starts helping himself to tools on the job when he thinks that no one is looking. What would Jesus do? The office gossip train has started taking on a new and hotter steam, poisoning the work environment with doubts and suspicions. What would Jesus do? You promised to make it to your child's final soccer match of the season, but at the last minute you're invited to sit in on a high-powered meeting. What would Jesus do? Ethics is, according to one definition, a capacity to judge and to do the right thing in the right place at the right time and in the right way. Now, it's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus. But Simon Peter took the first step. It's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but Martha, the sister of Mary, took the first step. It's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but Stephen, the first martyr, took the first step. It's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but Martin Luther and his wife, Katie von Bora, they took the first step. It's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but John and Charles Wesley, the founders of the Methodist Church, they took the first step. It's not always comfortable to walk in the shoes of Jesus, but Martin Luther King Jr. took the first step. You have been called out to be a disciple of Christ. Are you following him close enough to hear the flap of his sandals? Are you following in his path? Now, I'm not suggesting that there's instant spiritual growth, that any one particular event or decision will take you to the promised land. It's a lifetime process. But there are four habits that you can build into your life that will help you become more like Jesus, so that you won't have to worry about leaving the lottery ticket for someone else. The first of these habits is read the Bible daily. Since the Bible is the best and most reliable source of truth, all of us must encourage one another to get into God's Word on a daily basis, to help find freedom and to grow as Christians. Number two, pray daily. Disciples spend time with Jesus. As Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We listen to God through his words, and we talk to God through prayer. To grow spiritually, we need both habits in our lives. We need to read the Bible daily. We need to pray daily. Number three, tithe weekly. Tithing reminds us that everything we own belongs to God. And learning to tithe teaches us to hold on loosely to what we have and to put God first in our lives. Just like Simon and James and John. They held on loosely to their boats and their fishnets. And when called, they put God first in their lives. And finally, fellowship weekly. Why would you not want to spend time with people who are of like minds? Significant relationships can't develop when we just attend corporate worship. When we arrive at 8:31 and we leave at 9:29. We need additional time to talk and engage with others. I find it personally enjoyable to just show up here at church during the week and start by saying good morning. All to see where God will take me that day. An opening act to build healthy Christian relationships. Just take a few minutes and say good morning. Jesus offers us a life filled with discipleship joy. Instead of tying us to an ever spiraling climb up the world's ladder of success, Jesus offers us purpose and service and peace and divine love and redemption. These are the winning tickets for which we can happily trade in all the secular standards of success. These are the joys of discipleship, of knowing we have been called by Christ to catch the lost, by proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world. Would you leave the lottery ticket behind? Amen.